Let's consider some specific cases of fine-tuning at the level of everyday reality, where matter is comfortably composed of atoms and molecules. What's known as the fine structure constant determines the properties of these atoms and molecules. It is a pure number, approximately 1 over 137. If the fine structure constant were different by as little as around 1%, no atoms or molecules as we know them would exist. As relates to life on Earth, the fine structure constant determines how solar radiation is absorbed in our atmosphere. And it also applies to how photosynthesis works in plants. The sun just happens to emit the majority of its radiation in a part of the spectrum where the atmosphere of Earth just happens to allow sunlight through without absorbing or deflecting it. Here we run into another perfect match between two extremes of nature. In this case, the perfect match allows for just the right portion of the spectrum to reach Earth's surface for plants to feed on. The gravitational constant, which governs the sun's radiation, is a macroscopic value, while the atmospheric transmission of sunlight, with only some wavelengths making it through, is determined by the fine structure constant and is applicable on a microscopic scale. There is no clear reason why two constants, separately governing very big things and very small things, should mesh. It's like discovering that a child's fingerprints can tell you if he'll grow up to be a brain surgeon. Yet, if these two effects didn't mesh together perfectly, there would be no life as we know it. With good reason, the fine-tuning problem has been called one of the biggest embarrassments of physics, although biology can also take a share. Life depends on a fragile balance of constants, too. In fact, it was the total improbability of a universe that leads to life on Earth that brought fine-tuning into high relief. The existence of DNA involves too many coincidences, going back to the Big Bang itself. Theorists began to consider whether these coincidences are actually something else, an indicator that some deep underlying unity has been missed. The clues to this hidden unity are the suspiciously fine-tuned constants, although many other kinds of coincidences arouse the same suspicion. Figuring out why the universe is so fine-tuned has preoccupied many cosmologists, and one contingent has long been uncomfortable assigning the universe to pure chance. Here's a famous passage from astronomer Fred Hoyle. "A junkyard contains all the bits and pieces of a Boeing 747, dismembered and in disarray. A whirlwind happens to blow through the yard. What is the chance that after its passage, a fully assembled 747, ready to fly, will be found standing there? So small as to be negligible, even if a tornado were to blow through enough junkyards to fill the whole universe." For the majority of working physicists, Hoyle's analogy doesn't hold water, because the equations underlying QM and its tremendous predictive power dictate the operation of random chance and uncertainty. Still, explaining why the constants are so fine-tuned defies current knowledge, and there's even the intriguing possibility that they must be fine-tuned in order for human beings to exist. What if chance had nothing to do with it? The best answer so far. An attempt has been made to explain the why of fine-tuning through the anthropic principle. The term first appeared in 1972 at a conference celebrating the 500th anniversary of the birth of Copernicus. The name is derived from anthropos, the Greek word for human. The relevance of Copernicus is that a planetary system where the Earth revolves around the Sun takes away the central position of human beings in creation. One of the main authors of the anthropic principle, astrophysicist Brandon Carter, declared, "Although our situation is not necessarily central, it is inevitably privileged to some extent." His assertion was either a breakthrough or an outrage, depending on your beliefs. Returning human beings to a privileged place in a cosmos billions of light years in size was bold, if nothing else. For a calm description of what the anthropic principle implies, we turn again to physicist and mathematician Sir Roger Penrose. In his much respected book, The Emperor's New Mind, Concerning Computers, Minds, and the Laws of Physics, 1989, Penrose says that the argument for giving human beings a privileged position is useful to explain why the conditions happen to be just right for the existence of intelligent life on the Earth at the present time. Despite the allegiance of physics to randomness, Penrose points to striking numerical relations that are observed to hold between the physical constants, the gravitational constant, the mass of the proton, the age of the universe, etc. A puzzling aspect of this was that some of the relations hold only at the present epoch in Earth's history, so we appear, coincidentally, to be living at a very special time. Give or take a few million years. Being here, we look around and find that the cosmos led to our existence. A calm tone is necessary at this point, because on the fringes of the discussion are creationists who read the Bible literally, ready to pounce, claiming that physics now supports their belief that God gave man dominion over the earth, exactly as the book of Genesis teaches. Any such suggestion that human beings are divinely favored in the evolution of the cosmos is scientific heresy. But the anthropic principle isn't about having a religious agenda. It works from a remarkable fact that's hard to explain. Intelligent life now exists on Earth, namely us, and we are capable of measuring the constants that gave rise to intelligent life. Is this more than a coincidence? An analogy may help. Imagine that jellyfish are intelligent and want to know what the ocean is made of. Jellyfish scientists analyze the ocean's chemical composition, and they make a surprising observation. The chemicals inside our bodies exactly match the chemicals in seawater. The match is too perfect to be just a coincidence. There must be another explanation. They'd be right, because the reason that seawater and the liquid inside a jellyfish match is that evolution made it so. Jellyfish wouldn't be alive without the sea.